हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Question for the morning, okay.
Like, we saw the condition, like, the situation of the Brahmanas, which is very important, and neither Krishna nor Nariga, you know, criticize them or saw fault with them. So, isn't it because, first of all, the Brahmanas, they were not devotees, okay? They are Brahmanas, like, you know, Karmakandi Brahmanas, you know, Vedic Brahmanas. But still, so much of importance to them is being given over here. So, is it because they belong to the Brahmanical Varna? That is the reason why they carry that much weightage.
Means, how else would you categorize it?
Because even we are Brahmanas from ashram side, but their Varna may not be Brahmanical. So, they are not given that much importance.
No, but that's someone's Brahmanical by ashram generally means that that's their devotees.
Yeah.
Right? So, but here is that they follow the things of the Brahminical in the ashram and in the varna. But they're not seeing it in connection to the Lord, necessarily in the way of devotion. You know. Does that make sense? Because, see, is that it's not clear as what your approach here. What are you trying to gain?
No, I'm trying to understand the position of Brahmanas over here, which is so very important.
It means Brahmanas are Brahmanas. So it's not a matter of Varna or Ashram or this and that. Brahmins are important.
So even if it's a Karmi Brahman, he's still important, that much importance.
Yeah. It's just like when they were in Kumbh Mela and some Mayavadi sannyasis went by, and Prabhupada told the devotees to offer obeisances because they're sannyasis. Because they're following that lifestyle. That's to be respected. We may not hear from them, but we have to respect the lifestyle and all that they're leading. Because they're following Shastra, they're basing everything on Shastra.
Then Maharaj, what is your opinion about the caste Brahmanas?
But the point is what does it matter my opinion?
No, opinion means...
So means, then you say, what's our view on caste Brahmins, or what do the Acharyas say? Like this, don't say what's my opinion, because
your opinion will be in line with the Acharyas' opinion.
No, but still, that's not how it's done. We don't have an opinion. We just feel like that.
Okay, your view.
It's not a matter of my view. It's a matter of what is the Shastra saying.
What is the Shastra or the Acharya speaking?
Yes, it means they're Brahmins, so they're respected for that, even though they may be materialistic and all that, but their lifestyle and all that has to be respected. Right? We may say, oh, but they're materialistic. Then what about, so that's it's in the same categories of materialistic Kshatriya, materialistic Vaishya, materialistic. No, they're special out of that. Just like, let's say, you have a diamond and you have an old Coke bottle. Right? They're both clear, you know, you shine the light, they you know, flash a little bit in this and that, but is there a slight difference in the value here? Right? I mean, a Coke bottle, that must be what? Like, maybe 100 carats or something? You know, I mean, come on, you know, the other one's only like 1 carat diamond, you know, and 100 carat Coke bottle, you know? So the whole point is that there is a hierarchy and Krishna's made it because they're following that simple, austere lifestyle given in the Vedas. So the more they do that, the better the quality. So within that, you will have variation. So Manu, therefore, when he's talking about Shraddharites, gives 3 pages of, you know, listing of Brahmins who you should not invite to the Shraddharite. You know, a Brahmin who's a carpenter, a Brahmin who's this, a Brahmin who's that. So in other words, the one to invite is the ones like Nariga was giving charity to. Yes. So the whole point is they live the lifestyle, that's the occupation, that's how they deal. They're simple and all that. So that has to be respected because these qualities are to be respected. Now, using those qualities in Krishna's service, now that's the best way of using these qualities. Right? Being nice is a good quality, but if you're being nice because you're just a nice materialist, then it's a waste of niceness. Right? But using it in Krishna's service, now that's the proper use and the full use of niceness. But niceness is still respected.
But the modern approach we can see, even among devotees, they say it's good that you're nice. It's not a waste of time. It's better than being rude or something.
But on what level? According to what standard?
Any level.
And so, yes, and so, yes, materially being nice is better than not being nice.
And then...
But where's the distinction between what's material and what's spiritual? That's the whole point. But yes, using good qualities is always better than bad qualities. It's always better. So anytime you see that there's better qualities, there's better knowledge, better skill, all these different things are respected. Right, so knowledge, influence, money, you know, a particular skill, all these things, they're all respected. Like that. But there's a hierarchy of that. So what's being here is knowledge is the highest of all these material hierarchies. And so having good qualities, yes, that's good. But if they're going to take it that someone's only by having good qualities they're a nice devotee or not, and that's going to be the judgment of it, then the whole point is that's not how the acharyas do. It's faith in Krishna. Because of the 26 qualities, that faith in Krishna, that's the one that has to be there. That's how you define them as a devotee. The other 25, materialists might have them due to the modes of nature, the piety, and things like that. So that's what we want to see is we want people to be nice because then they'll be nice to us. We'll say, oh, it's for the preaching, but at the same time as... Do they even know you're a devotee?
No,
yes, so then how is it preaching? Preaching is they know you're a devotee and you're nice. And so they think, okay, these guys are gentle, they're intelligent, they're not they behave in a way that I can relate. That's preaching. But they don't know you're a devotee, you're down at the yoga studio and they're just everyone sitting around in leotards and you're nice. Okay, that's nice, but that's about all yogis are supposed to be nice. Or go to any yoga studio, that's the one thing you expect, they'll be nice. Right? Go down to the car mechanic garage and that's a different mood, you know, different flavor like that. You know, they should be practical. They're not nice, but they're practical. Right? But if it's a yoga studio, they're practical, there's something wrong. Go to another yoga studio. Because right? You went there for the experience, not practicalness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. So, like in places where there is a deficiency of Vaishnava Brahman, can the devotees, or they usually seem seeing that devotees invite the Vedic Brahman, as you know, before everything?
For doing the?
For doing the different samskaras and other things, you know. So is that
means can they invite them? Yes, I mean it can be, but the point is they only do the ritualistic part. We do the kirtans, we do the lectures, we do the prasad, we do all that kind of stuff, like that. And at the same time, is when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees, why don't we have? That means there's something wrong with the community. Bless their souls. Right? Especially if you check, and most of your leaders within that zone in question, their background is Brahmins. Yeah, and so then why is it they're professional and not doing these things?
Because usually, you know, devotees, they don't want to become, they don't want to perform samskaras, yogis and everything, because they get the reaction of it. That is the reason why they want.
And they don't get the reaction for having a family? Your wife, your kid goes out and kicks the dog, you get the reaction. Kid gets no reaction. You get the reaction.
And the dog.
Whatever your wife does, you get the reaction. So whatever your wife and kids do, you get all the reaction.
That's your kids.
Yeah, somebody, but the point is you're getting reaction. So it's just reaction. Then it's, you know, that my point there. But if it's a matter of that it's not my reaction. That's someone else's. Okay, then that makes sense. But why is it they don't want to do that, but then doing business, there's no reaction in business? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is material world is action reaction, and so you're involved in the world of karma, and then complaining about reaction. You know, that's like working in an ice cream factory and complaining it's cold or something. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So they don't want to do it. No, they don't want to do it because it doesn't make any money. That's why it is. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
It's not that it's, oh, we'll get the reaction. No, they don't care about the reaction. They don't. They care that no one gives them the money.
Not enough for the reaction.
Yes, not enough for the reaction. So you know, in other words, we have to be very careful about covering our own conditioning and try to make it look nice. You know? Okay. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, a brahmana's property is called brahmana sva, and according to Manu's law, it cannot be acquired even by the government. Right? They just can't take. If they take it, then they'll have big problems. Especially, and the more qualified the brahman, the more trouble they get. Like that. Kingdom, and that includes means government means who is the administrative authority. So we can't be a temple and claim to be administrative authority, and at the same time, oh, we're just Brahmins, and so you have to give everything to the Brahmins. No, but Brahmins are independent. They give it to you if they want to. Like that. You can't take it. King Riga continued, O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Universe, the agents of Yamaraj, taking advantage of the opportunity thus created, later carried me to his abode. There Yamaraj himself questioned me. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, at the opportunity provided by his death at the end of his allotted lifespan, he fell to Yama's abode, Shamyamani, as will be stated later. He was a pious person and therefore went to Yama's abode above Manasa in the south, not hell. Right, so he has his nice place and he has his kind of not as nice place. So it just depends. If you're pious, you go to his nice place. He then greets you and deals with you. He looks very nice. Everything's very nice. And if you're not, then he comes in a less nice form, like that. So the more sinful, the more less nice. So then, because he was pious, therefore he came in the, because it's a heavenly planet. Yama's place is a heaven. That's where the Petris live. Like that. This place was not located on earth. In that place, Yama personally questioned him out of respect. O Krishna, you are worshipped by Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, since you are the protector of the universe, Jagatpate. In order to protect the universe, you have appointed Yama to be in charge of Dharma, but none of them can trespass your rules. For this reason, Yama questioned the king. Yamaraj said, my dear king, do you wish to experience the results of your sins first, or that of those of your piety? Indeed, I see no end to the dutiful charity you have performed, or to your consequent enjoyment in the radiant heavenly planets. I replied, first, my lord, let me suffer my sinful reactions. And Yamaraj said, then fall. At once I fell, and while falling, I saw myself becoming a lizard, O master.
Would you say that there are two aspects of Maya? One is covering.
Yes.
And the other one is throwing.
Right.
It seemed that he wasn't covered. He was qualified enough not to be covered.
Oh, this is Yamaraj, so it's not that. It means the point is then he'll be covered as a lizard, because he sees himself becoming a lizard, so then she covers him, and then he ends up in a well. Right? It's not that they put him in a well, then turned him into a lizard. No. You know, for a lizard, a nice dry well is pretty good, right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments, let me first experience my sins, since there is the greatest happiness after the end of suffering. Yama spoke while gesturing. Pra-aha. Immediately I became a lizard. O controller of all karma, Prabhu, I must experience the results of actions given by you, or this is by your will alone. He received that result for his sin. According to Ramayana and other scriptures, he received the result because of the curse of the two brahmanas. The contradiction to the version presented here is resolved by explaining that two different incidents happened in different kalpas. So that's the sin that we're talking about. So it's different incidences, different times, because as we mentioned, as we said before, he was the, that's why he opened with the point is, in this one, he's the son of Ikshvaku, while in another cult, he was the brother of Ikshvaku. Right? So same thing happens, same as, you know, this is the point chewing the chew. It's the same old stuff. So here's the big charitable guy, something will go wrong, right? So Prabhupada also points out that it's foolish that you think, oh, I'll have my sins now and get rid of them, then once it's over, then I'll be able to enjoy unlimitedly. You know, so the point is that on the material platform, there is no ideal situation. So even if you go through all the when you go to enjoy, you won't enjoy that either, because that enjoyment becomes the standard. Does that make sense? Like, there's a good chance, like, let's say people who live in Ibiza go somewhere else for a vacation. Right? You know, that's the whole point. So you're on the heavenly planets, but that's all there is. Everybody's good looking, everybody's wealthy, everything's there. You don't have to work, and so therefore now what? So it gets boring. You want to do something else. You know, it's like I heard the story that I think it was Louis XIV. For fun, at Versailles, they would dress up as villagers, as cowherds, and go out and then have picnics and play around. You know, of course, all their servants are there dressed up as villagers also and bringing all nice stuff. But the point was is, because they were living such a life of luxury and everything like that, so it was fun to be a villager, you know, for whatever it is, you know, some part of the day. So that's the whole point. Prabhupada's saying you're foolish because this idea is I will enjoy. Not that, oh, well, I should take the other one first. No, the point is that you can enjoy. That's the foolishness. Mm-hmm. There is no. Verses 25 to 30. King Nriga offers prayers to Lord Krishna. King Nriga continued, O Keshava, as your servant, I was devoted to the brahmanas and generous to them, and I always hankered for your audience. Therefore, even till now, I have never forgotten my past life. So then here we see he was a devotee. But how much of a devotee? But he was a devotee, so he was always interested in. So that's why he was devoted to the brahmanas, because Krishna likes the brahmanas, so we're devoted to the brahmanas. So that's the main reason that we respect brahmanas, because Krishna does. Right? If we get into, well, how much this one, that one, but then where does Krishna fit? Tell me something. So it's about Krishna. Krishna likes brahmanas, therefore that's why we respect them. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. A person who remembers his past life is called Jati Smara. In modern times also, there are instances of small children recalling many details of their past lives. It appears from these statements of King Nriga that persons who follow the principles of fruitive activities and derive some material benefits are not very intelligent. Being given the choice by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, King Nriga could have first accepted the results of his pious activities. Instead, he thought it better to first receive the effects of his impious activities and then enjoy the effects of his pious activities without disturbance. Right? Not that there wouldn't be disturbance. Like, Indra's enjoying the results of his pious activity, and then Bali Maharaj arrives. You know, or Moisha Sura comes, or, you know, how you say, Vritra Sura, you know, like this. So, yeah. On the whole, he had not developed Krishna consciousness, right? So he was to some degree, because we have to remember as being connected either the son or grandson of the sun god, then that means there's some variety of devata. So that means they have piety, they know about Vishnu, they have that. But we can see as he hadn't really developed that much as a devotee. So they have the understanding, they have that aspect, but not so much. So it wasn't enough that he took shelter of the Lord and those kind of aspects there. So that's where he says, on the whole, he had not developed Krishna consciousness. He was Krishna conscious, you know, like you know, any pious, you know, person who follows the Vedas. There has to be some God consciousness. The Krishna conscious person develops love of God, Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities, right? Because that's what he was saying. You might have known me because of his piety, rather than, you know, he's a devotee. Therefore, he is not subjected to the results of such action, right, for the devotee. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, is not subjected to the reactions of fruitive activities, right? So, otherwise, devotees don't see Yamaraj. It's just arranged what will be their next situation. Remember the Lord, they go back to Godhead, and then depending upon how they were situated, then they take birth in a family of devotees or aristocratic families or, you know, some way that's arranged by the Lord without Yamaraj. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Nriga had mixed bhakti because of performing karma with a little devotion, right? Because karma won't work without devotion, so it has to be applied. And so they will feel they're a devotee. Like any like pious Hindu who then has that little bit of understanding, they'll consider themselves a devotee. But then if you start talking business, then they'll kind of forget that side and just get into the business side, right? So that's what it is that it's karma with a little devotion. And the devotion is actually subservient to the karma. Because it's part, as a pious person, naturally you worship Vishnu. Right? But they can easily forget about the Vishnu worship and get involved in their karma. Yes.
That would be called bhakti mishra karma?
Yes. Yes, because the point is this, they're karmis. Yeah. There's that little bit of devotion. That's why then it's considered, India is considered Punya Bhumi, because here people will know about these things, know about the lifestyle and all that. You know, so that's the specialness about it, because they could take advantage, but they're still within the cycle of karma, because that's their interest. His goal is the, you know, the heavenly pleasures and all that. Otherwise, he'd tell Yamaraj, he says, I wanted to go back to Godhead and all that. And Yamaraj, then, if that happened, Yamaraj would call over his assistants and says, why'd you bring this guy here? You know. So, yeah. I think it was one devotee was saying that something happened. I think he got tossed out of some building or something. You know, he was not in a... His occupation was not ideal. He got tossed out of the building in, you know, a bit of an altercation. And then... You know, next thing he knows, he's... You know, because it's only after being a devotee then he understood all these things. Then he's dealing with a Yamaraj, and then Yamaraj makes ask him some question and all that, and then he quotes Gita. Then he says, Yamaraj turned to Yamaduta, said, take him back. He's not supposed to be here. So, no, he at the hospital. I think he ended up 9 months in the hospital. It's one of those broke every bone in your body kind of, yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't one of those. Everything goes backwards. The glass goes back into place and everything. No, it's just back to the hospital. So on the whole, he had not developed Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person develops love of God, Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities. Therefore, he is not subjected to the results of such action. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, is not subjected to the reactions of fruits of activities. Right? But because we're attached to them, then it's not that we don't get reactions that are in line with our attachment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that way then Krishna helps us give up our attachment. So it appears that it's karma. And in that way we can talk about it, it's my karma. But in one sense, technically it's not. Because karma is gone. When you develop Shraddha, there is no karma. Mm-hmm. Krishna's taking care. But because the condition is a particular nature, and to that degree we identify with it, therefore then Krishna will give us situations according to that conditioning. Is that?
You call Krishna karma?
Yes, that's Krishna karma. Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Okay. Nriga had mixed bhakti because of performing karma with a little devotion. Taking shelter of this mixed bhakti, he thus expressed himself humbly before the Lord as his servant. Right? So now that aspect comes out. So it's not that the person with this bhakti, Mr. Karma, if you bring bhakti to the front, like let's say you have a program or some nice kirtan, the bhakti may take prominence by the association of devotees. And they may have, you know, have a very nice experience that's there. And by that, that furthers their faith in the bhakti more than the karma. And so if they have that regular association, then it can switch from bhakti Mr. Karma to karma Mr. Bhakti to pure bhakti. Right? So that's the advantage of the Vedic system, is the culture is the same, the devotion is supposed to be the same, but just what your ultimate goal is, now that'll be a difference. But by associating with pure devotees, right? Because those in karma and jnana will associate. Like the sannyasis at Varanasi. They, because of the nature of their dharma, they would associate with other sannyasis. And so in that, they invited Lord Chaitanya. So it's only because of their dharma sannyasis they did that. And so then as that, as sannyasis, then they would discuss, Vedanta, right? And so by discussing that, then they heard the actual Siddhanta. Then they took up devotional service. So that's the thing, is karma and jnana, because it already includes the devotional element, therefore devotees then have a nice entrance into that. That's the point, that's the piety, that's the directness of it. That's the superiority of it. While the others, then you have to, you know, use some, you know, how you say, fancy name for a seminar or a yoga thing or something unique and different that people will be interested in. And this way, then you catch their attention. So it's less pious. Right? It's not more international. No, it's less pious.
Maharaj, it seems that the King Ringa, he did not have any association with pure devotee before.
It doesn't appear. It hasn't been mentioned. Mm-hmm. He hasn't mentioned the acharyas. He just says, as your servant, I was devoted to the Brahmanas. Because those who worship Vishnu then worship the Brahmanas. Right? Anybody who's intelligent will worship the Brahmins. So then he was doing that, but he was more attached to the karma. Right? Set.
And they usually go for Shaligram worship.
Shaligram worship, yes. At some time, a great devotee desired to attain a temple for a beautiful deity and to obtain scriptures like Gita and Bhagavatam. Nriga, being very generous, readily supplied these things. Being satisfied with Nriga, the devotee said, O king, I give blessings that you may see the Lord. From the time of getting that blessing, Krishna had great desire to see the Lord.
Nriga.
Hmm?
Nriga had great desire to see the Lord. You read Krishna.
Oh. Nriga. Yes. Take King and Riga, you get Krishna. Yes. Remembrance of you is not lost even today. First as a lizard and then as a proud devata, which is also unfavorable for remembrance. Right? So being a lizard is not so favorable, and being a proud demigod is not very favorable. Huh? I think the demigod looks a lot better.
Something in the mind of Bharata Maharaj when he became a deer, he did not lose his remembrance.
Yes, but you see here, he dealt differently. Because Bharata Maharaj, because he was already a great devotee. But he made a mistake, so then he came back to the path. He now as a deer, and then as Jarabharata, then he was going to make sure that he didn't get distracted. Because otherwise he'd have to get involved in so many things, this and that, and he wasn't about to. So. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. O Keshava, you are directly the Supreme Lord. Ko brahmeti samyakyata ishoham sarvadehinam avan tavanga sambhutau tasmat keshava namavan. Ka means Brahma, Isha means me, the Lord of all souls, Shiva. We too arise from your limbs. Thus you are called Keshava, the Lord of Brahma and Shiva, Harivamsa. So Kaisha is Keshava. You got that as another meaning. So, yeah. So does that make sense? So Keshava as the source of Ka and Isha, that would be a secondary name. Mm-hmm. And then as with the, you know, nice hair, that would be a primary name. Mm-hmm. By mentioning the pastime in Vrindavan, the last pastime in Or Keshava means he who killed Keshi. Okay. By mentioning the last pastime in Vrindavan, all the pastimes there are indicated. Mm-hmm. Thus Keshava indicates he who manifested unlimited qualities as Bhagavan. By the power of seeing Jagannath previously, later he worshipped the Lord at Dwarka. Because the Lord was praised as Jagannath, seeing him was possible. Thus he fell into a well at Dwarka. And by being a servant of the Lord there, with a desire to see the Lord, he developed knowledge of Krishna. He became a lizard to show the fault, even for devotees or the Lord. Or the Lord, or probably of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Of taking from the brahmanas in order to teach the people. This is described in Bhagavatamrita. Right, so the point is that Krishna is trying to point out is devotees, still they don't take things from the brahmanas. It's just how it works. Because if you do that, it doesn't work out very good. So here, even if you take him as, has that element of interest in devotional service, still he ended up as a lizard. Right? You know, your standard thing is, it's not that the devotee couldn't end up in an animal species. Generally speaking, you wouldn't. But if there's some attachment that warrants it, you may. But it's not by going through Yamaraj and this and that. You just end up there. Mm-hmm. So, Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 25 in Bhakti Sandarbha. From this it is understood that Nriga had bhakti, and thus he was not subject to Yamaraj, who takes only those who do not practice bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.329. He did not go to Yama's planet, but became a lizard because of offense of discrediting the powers of bhakti. If he had accepted the glories of bhakti as described in the scriptures, he would not have given up serving the Lord and become absorbed in actions of karma. It is said that bhakti is stagnated by such an offense. So because he became so absorbed in his karma, like that, and the results of that karma. In other words, karma is the secondary activity. Right, it's part of Varnashram. And the whole point of that is to use that in the Lord's service. But if we take that as the focal point and make that too strong, then we see that's offensive to bhakti because we're maintaining material attachments. We don't need to, but we are. Right? Because we have a curse of a Brahmin, right? With Parikit. So what does he do? Right? He just takes up devotional service full time. And so Nariga could have taken up more of a devotional process, but he didn't. Right? So maintaining that attachment, then that's not good for bhakti, therefore then the reaction comes.
So that's actually the reaction, that the bhakti is like hampered.
Yes. Yeah, that's the whole, that's, in devotional service, the real reaction is the dwindling of bhakti. These other things, then that's, Those come by natural course anyway. Whether you're a devotee or not devotee, material world is material world. So it may run nicely, it may not run nicely. You know, because in any case, anything goes wrong, we'll consider it bad. Right? So let's say we get one mosquito bite, we'll consider it bad. How does Krishna let this happen? I'm a devotee, this and that. But what we don't know is we should have been bitten by about 10,000 of them. You know? And so, therefore, it was only one. So Krishna did arrange. Does that make sense? So, no matter what it is, it's always an inconvenience. Does that make sense?
Either. Another thing is interesting that even Sandarga was not an advanced, he was a beginner practically.
Nriga, yes.
but still he didn't have to see Yamaraj at that point even.
Yes. No, that's the whole point. Anybody who develops Shraddha, they don't need to see. Because that's where it's different. Because once Agyata Sukriti becomes bhakti, then you're not working in the cycle of karma anymore. But before that, yes, you're still working in that cycle. But you have that Agyata Sukriti, so that's going to give very good results. So let's say the karmi, you know, gives a donation to the devotees. You know, and so that's for the Samkirtan mission, for all these things, it's used nicely. And so then that he's given, you know, $5 or something like that. But now, because of what he's given to, the results he'll get are so great. So, technically speaking, all the people who are wealthy, powerful, influential, that's all because of some Agyata Sukriti. That's actually what is there. Because bhakti has to be performed. But the point is, it's not prominent for them. So it hasn't developed into Shraddha yet. So that's why the association of devotees, that's the important point. Because then Shraddha will develop. Otherwise it's Agyata Sukriti. Yeah, at the yoga studio they don't know you're a devotee, don't know it. That's Agyata Sukriti. But they know you're a devotee, then by that, then it goes very quickly into bhakti. Does that make sense? You know, if someone has zero Agyata Sukriti, then yes, that's a good situation. But if somebody already has a good amount, then just a little bit more, then it will... That's why you have two friends. They both come to the temple, and one immediately joins, and the other one 10 years later, you know, they're still friends and all that, but he's not inclined, because one had so much Agyata Sukriti, the other one didn't. You know? So it's not that, oh, because of the preaching, this, that. No, the guy just doesn't have the Sukriti, because if it went by that... That means no one should have joined in the 60s and 70s because it was so wild and crazy. So, but they did. That's because they had the Sukriti. And nowadays people aren't because they don't have the Sukriti. That's all. It's not that, oh, this, that. Because devotion is transcendental. The soul is transcendental. You come in contact with pure devotion. It has its effect. Even if the form is not ideal. Does that make sense? Yes.
But sometimes they say that devotees practice for 5 years chanting 60 rounds, doing everything. But after that, sometimes they see some material disturbance.
Then they'll continue at a later date. You know, either sometime later in this lifetime when they, whatever it is that's distracting them, you know, itself becomes a disturbance. You know, in other words, when the distraction becomes a disturbance, then they might go back to the devotion. You know, as long as the distraction seems nice, it's a distraction. But as soon as it becomes, you know, obvious, then they may at that time, so, you know, X amount of time, and then they may take it up. But if not, at least in the next life they'll take it up. But the point is anything they've done, that's never lost. So that's always there. You understand? But the soul, because they have the independence, even if they do develop, they can still get distracted. That's why the example of Bharat Maharaj is given. Someone on the Uttama platform could get distracted. Right? So one always has to be careful. Does that make sense? Yeah. Good. King Riga continued, right? So because of that devotion, because of wanting to see the Lord, the devotee wanted to build a temple for the deity, and so he did that, he got the blessing, so then he wanted to see Jagannath, and so therefore then he was given a position in a well in Dwarka, so that he could see Jagannath. Right? So it's all worked out very nicely. King Nriga continued, O Almighty One, how is it that my eyes see you here before me? You are the Supreme Soul, whom the greatest masters of mystic yoga can meditate upon within their pure hearts only by employing the spiritual eye of the Vedas. Then how, O Transcendental Lord, are you directly visible to me, since my intelligence has been blinded by the severe tribulations of material life? Only one who has finished his material entanglement in this world should be able to see you. Right? But that's the whole point of Jagannath. is that he comes out, he sees, right? Because, isn't it? Jagannath's inside his place, and he comes out onto the street, you can see him. Right? So here, Jagannath was in his palace, and then the boys called him out to see this big monster lizard, and so then he came out to see. Right? So then he gets to see. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when King Nriga elected to receive the results of his impious activities, he was given the body of a lizard because of the mistake in his pious activities. Thus he could not be directly converted to a higher status of life like a great demigod. However, along with his pious activities, he thought of Krishna, so he was quickly released from the body of a lizard and given the body of a demigod. So it appears, even as a lizard, he was remembering the Lord. Like that. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, those who desire material opulence are given the bodies of powerful demigods. Sometimes these demigods can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. But they are still not yet eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom because of that material interest and that material attachment. They're interested in the Lord, but they're also interested in their material things. So we have to, that's the whole point of the sadhana and the bhakti, by studying, by associating, we start to switch the positions. There's more about seeing Krishna and pleasing Krishna, and less about the karma. So the karma just means how to maintain oneself, you know, comfortably. And that's its only purpose. So that one can cultivate Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees. However, if the demigods continue to be devotees of the Lord, the next chance they get will enter into the Vaikuntha planet. So, as a demigod, if they continue their devotion, then they can move forward. But if they don't, then, you know, then they'll come back here as, you know, people here. Does that make sense? Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, you are most rare or have indescribable glories. O Lord, you are spread everywhere, Vipo. Thus you cannot be seen, Akshi Pataha. You are difficult to see directly since you are with the Atma, Paramatma. How can I slightly see you in my life or in this well, Iha? O my Lord, Mama Vipo, how can the Lord be seen by the servants? You are the supreme Atma. You can be really perceived in the pure heart by knowledge of the meaning of the Vedas, by the best devotees of Bhakti Yoga. O Avatari, Sakshad Arhokshaja, or Krishna, son of Jashoda, those who have ended material existence can see you in Dwarka, Iha. Right? So he's giving these different ways that you can appreciate the meanings that are that he's explaining. Or, by what method are you visible? Katam, Akshi, Pataha. You cannot be attained just by thinking, since you are not the object of jnana, adhokshaja. It is not possible that you can be directly present. But so, now in here, according to Vedanta Sutra, the point being made there in the grammar is that there's only one meaning to the verse. Right? So now, but what does that mean by there's one meaning? Right? Means, since they don't know the primary, they can only use one secondary form. Does that make sense? Because two different secondary forms would be contradictory. But if you actually understand the primary of what the actual Abhida is meaning in the verse about the Lord, and the connection to the Lord, service to the Lord, devotion to the Lord, then you can have many secondary meanings to the verse because they're not contradictory, because they're all about the Lord. So all these different angles that are there are all about the Lord's glory and about his special unique position. But is bringing out, since these words, they can mean all of these things. Because they have a root, so the root will have the common, and then as you come out, as you expand, apply the grammar and expand it, then it becomes more and more specific in different ways. Right? So in this way, still you can get unlimited meanings. But it's all about Krishna. It's not that one meeting is about Krishna, another is about my grandmother, another one is about my, you know, new telephone. That's what the Veda is saying. You can't do that. So here it's only one meaning, the glories of the Lord, but the glories are unlimited. But when you're dealing in debate, you take one thing and deal with that, because the reason there's a debate is because they can't see the primary. They're only seeing the secondary. So then keep it simple. Right?
Even amongst those, which meaning we should take depends upon the context that is in discussion.
Yes, yes, like that. But it's not that you take their one necessarily. You take whichever one's the appropriate one. So they may take one, we'll take another. Right,
So when we say that the only the debates can be only of the secondary.
No, it means that generally a debate means there's not, you're not seeing the primary. So you're arguing over secondary aspects. Like I just heard one, you know, today is. One devotee was bringing up something on, someone brought up about the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, there's no offenses, so just by chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then one, you know, that makes it, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra go very nicely, because you get the blessings of the Panchatattva. And so then a question came up, so then one person brought up, well, how often do you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra? And so their point was, is, you know, I chant before every round. I finish a round, I chant the Maha, like this. But someone else was saying, no, they don't do that. And then it was like a shock to them. Why wouldn't you be doing that? Because the rule is, before chanting, you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. So you sit down, chant all your 16 rounds at once, you say the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then chant all 16 rounds. Right? So the point is before chanting. Now, if before each round you want to do, there's not a problem. It's not a problem to do that. But it, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So there may be these different angles about it, but the principal point is that before chanting, you're doing. So now, if before chanting, you want to do it before every round, then you could. Then, you know, you're going to get someone who wants to do it before every mantra. They'll do one Panchatattva, one Hare Krishna, one Panchatattva, one Hare Krishna, like that. You know, so. You know, so you get all these different things. But what's being missed is just the point is that it's by pleasing the Panchatattva, that's how you're going to get. Right? But at the same time is, in Braj they chant Hare Krishna, and in Navadvip they chant Hare Krishna. That means those who are devotees of, then we're chanting. Because we're trying to get their mercy. So, you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, some people try to elevate it up, and their devotees would chant rounds on it, and then, you know, I think it was pointed out, no, we don't do that. Because we want to please Lord Chaitanya, and he says, chant Hare Krishna. So you want to get his blessings to chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, taking that beforehand, and then chanting. And then you apply as you like. But the point is that, you know, does that make sense? There's no hard and fast rule. It's pleasing the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that way then it ends up as, because we're seeing the secondary. Well, why wouldn't you? You want to get the mercy of that, but why? Volume makes mercy? You know what I'm saying? So if it's volume makes mercy, then yes, then you should say how much is the volume necessary? You know? So there's indications that one has to take shelter from them, but at the same time there's no volume given. Right? Does that make sense? Like for, I think it was Achyutananda, because back in the 70s, like, you know, kirtan meant Achyutananda. So Prabhupada instructed him, in an artik, half of the kirtan should be Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The other half, that's Guru, you know, and Panchatattva, and the, you know, the particular artik song, you know, either Guru Vastakam or like this. But the idea, it should be half. Not that you keep going and then you get in two or three mantras before the end. So then in that, and I asked her, so how many you chant? And he had mentioned it probably. You chant three times. It's not that you can't chant more, but since you're trying to get in the maximum chanting of Hare Krishna. So we're trying to get the blessings of them to chant Hare Krishna, but not chanting Hare Krishna. So, yeah, so you have to balance it. So for one person, they'll figure that I need this mercy, so I'm doing this. But then they have to be comfortable that someone else does it differently. Does that make sense? So it works. It's It's, that's the point. Nam nam akadi bahan, you just shut. There's no rule. So as soon as we try to put a rule and then argue over it, because we're missing the primary point. You know, so when you're dealing with non-devotees, they really miss the primary point. So. It is not possible that you can directly be. It's not possible that you can be directly present. I am, moreover, blinded by worldly problems. Therefore, you cannot be directly present, since you can only give a likeness to your presence. Anu drishya, to a person free of material pursuits. It is remarkable that you show yourself to me, right? So he's pointing out all the reasons that Krishna shouldn't be there because of his lack of qualification, but Krishna is there. You know, so that's the specialness. That's why he's so happy. It is remarkable that you show yourself to me, though I have attained a heavenly body, since you are beyond everything and unlimited. How has this happened? It is some type of mercy, some type of your shakti. You only know, right? Because he doesn't know. Like, Krishna's asking him, oh, how did you get into this, this, that, for instructions? But his point is, no, only you know. I don't even know what's going on. Does that make sense? You know, another angle you could take on the using one thing is that they're making one point, they're using a verse in a particular way. Now, if they change the meaning of this verse and try to use it in the same argument, it won't work because they're following a particular line of logic. So they're just dropping that. So if they want to take up a new presentation, new line of logic, now they can give a different approach to the verse. Does that make sense? But otherwise, if they just skip around as what's convenient for them, it's not actually a discussion. Is that? Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 26 in Bhagavad Sandarbha. O Lord Vibho, it is astonishing that you are before my eyes. He explains why it is astonishing. You are the supreme soul whom the best of yogis contemplate in their hearts according to Vedic injunctions. Right? They're seeing him in his heart because they're not seeing him outside. Right, by Vedic injunctions. Since the sense knowledge is inferior to you, Adhokshaja, you should be seen only by those who are free of the material world, Bhavapavargaha. Right, so because he's beyond the senses, he shouldn't be able to be seen by those who are controlled by their senses or absorbed in their senses. Only those who are beyond the senses. Then they, you know, that's the mercy of the deity, that even though we may have that material connection, we can see the deity, right, and worship the deity. But as we see, as we become more devotional and more detached from the material, then the more we actually see the deity. So, it is thus astonishing that I, whose intelligence is blinded by suffering birth as a lizard, Uru Vyasana, can see you. The cause of seeing the Lord is explained in Narayana Dhyatma. Nitya Vyaktopi Bhagavan Ikshyate Nija Shaktita. Tamrite Paramatmanam Ka Pashye Taramritam Prabhu. The Lord, eternally invisible, is seen by His will. Without that, who can see the Lord, the Paramatma? By His mercy alone is the cause. With the enthusiasm of His Shakti, Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vrinute tanum svam. The Lord reveals His form to whomever He chooses. Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.4. Na sandrishe tishtati rupam asya, na chakshusha pashyati rupam asya. His form is not within the perception of material senses. One cannot see His form with the material eye. Sweta Svatara Upanishad. In Moksha Dharma, the master of Sweta Dweep speaks to Narada. Etad tvaya na vigyeyam rupavan iti drishyate. Ichan mu. Muhur tan nashyeyam ishoham jagato guruhu. Maya Yesha Maya Shrishta Yan Mam Pashyasi Narada Sarva Bhatang Guner Yuktam Naiva Tvam Gyatum Arhasi. You should not think that I become visible because I accept a material form. Being master and guru of the universe, by my desire, I can become invisible. Narada, that form which you see made of material elements is actually an appearance created by my maya. You should not think that I am made of material qualities and elements. Mahabharata 12, 3, 26, 42, 43. So, if we see a material form, that's maya. Maya is doing that. Because actually the devotee would see the transcendental form. Says my source. You should not think that only because I take a form I become visible. So it's because he wants to be visible, therefore he's visible. Not that he has to take a form to become visible, because he always has his form. So it's just when he wants to be seen, you see him, see his form. And when not, you don't see his form. It's not that when he's not seen, he has no form. He still has his form, just we don't see it. Saying that even being invisible, he has a form. The Lord shows that his form is spiritual, not material. The cause of showing his form is his desire, his great mercy. By my will, I become invisible. Nashye yam. The cause of this is his independence. So then when he wants, he's seen. When he wants, he's not seen. Right? That's how it works. Not some other method.
When is the Lord appearing in the form of his deity, it's meaning that he wants to
be seen, yes. Be seen. Yes. So therefore he's giving that opportunity.
But when we say that it is by the the desire of the pure devotee that Krishna is coming in.
Yes, but therefore the devotee has that desire, Krishna takes that form. So that we can see.
Yes.
But still the point is how are we able to approach that Lord and for us to see?
Dependence of purity.
And that's because of that the mercy of the devotee.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because the devotee can see the Lord, and so then by the mercy of the devotee then we can see the Lord. But because of the material senses, Krishna comes in a form that we can appreciate with the material senses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if we think the form is material, then we're seeing Maya. Right? This Krishna's external energy, see. But if we understand this as Krishna, then we're seeing with spiritual senses, so then we're seeing the actual form of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But to see Krishna means we need to have the mercy of the devotee.
Yes, yes. That's why there's the formal installation ceremony and that, so that he will, he'll be there to be seen. Because otherwise Krishna is form and non-different, so he's already there.
Yes, yes.
But the point is, as you deal with him, he'll be, reciprocate with them. You don't deal with him, he won't reciprocate. But the installation means you're going to reciprocate. You're going to worship.
Yes, yes.
It's formalized. So therefore, he will always act in that way as if not. So therefore, let's say, you come across something, and so then you stick him on the table, and you're going to offer lunch, or you offer it to him, and all that. So he accepts it. But then after that, that wasn't so. You move on, and it's not there, right? But you install a deity, he expects lunch. You don't bring lunch, it's a problem. But the other one, he's not installed. So whatever worship you did, then he accepts that. But it's still, he's there. So this idea is that, he's uninstalled, so anybody can worship, we can do anything. But the point is, no, it's him. So he's still, there's temporarily installed and permanently installed. Like that. But the form is still him, whether you're worshiping or not. So it's not that we create the, No, he's already here, himself. So. King Riga continued, O Deva Deva, Jagannatha, Govinda, Purushottama, Narayana, Rishikesha, Punyashloka, Achyuta, Avyaya. O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of the demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, taking permission to leave, first, he praises the Lord by reciting his names, since Samkirtan is dear to the Lord. O Lord of Brahma, and other devatas who are worshipable by the world. O Lord of Niladri, Jagannath, first you are worshipped by Brahma, and then by the devatas. You appeared on earth as Daru Brahman, Govinda, directly the Lord, O Supreme Person, Purushottama. You are famous by that name in your kshetra. You are the shelter of all jivas, giving them food remnants rare to the devatas, Narayana. Not only do you have an external form, but internal also, by which you give all powers to your servants. O stimulator of the senses of your servants, Rishikesha, or it expresses the Lord's affection for his devotees. You appear with long hair once to make the words of your devotees true, Rishikesha. You are excellently glorified by poets, or are famous for your excellent affection for devotees, Punya Shloka. So these different things can, right, you have all these different. Why? You never fail to keep your word, Achyuta. Aham Bhakta Para Dhinaha. I am dependent on my devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.63. Or, you always reside at Nilachal, Achyuta. Moreover, your supply of Mahaprasad is never exhausted by giving, Avyaya, since you are served by Mahalakshmi. So he's Avyaya, means he gives, but it's still more is there. Unlimited is there. He gives unlimited. He expands unlimitedly, and still unlimited is still there. Right? So 1 plus 1 is 1, 1 minus 1 is 1. Right? So Vedic math. Or you are endowed with supreme powers, Deva Deva. That is illustrated. You are the Lord of all causes and effects of the universe, Jagannath. So the whole point is this principle of Jagannath. He's always there at Dwarka, right? And so this Dwarka, Purushottama Kshetra, Kurukshetra, they all are connected. They're all the same place where the Lord is Jagannath. Does that make sense? So depending upon the flavor that's there, then that aspect is. You thus appeared as the king of Gokula, Govinda, to reveal your unlimited qualities. Therefore, you are beyond the temporary and permanent jivas, Purushottama. Yasmat Kshadam Atitoham Aksharad Api Chotama Atosmi Loke Vede Cha Pratitaf Purushottamaha. Because I am superior to the conditioned and liberated jivas, I am celebrated in the Vedas and the Smritis as the Supreme Person. Right? So there'll be elevated persons, but he is above even the elevated, so he's the Supreme Person. Right? So that's the point. He's beyond. So it's not that you become transcendental, then you become one with the Lord. No, you become transcendental, so you're better than those who are conditioned in that in your situation, but you're still never equal to the Lord. Right. Or, you are supreme among the three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, because you are the Supreme Lord, Narayana. You stimulate the senses of your devotees, Hrishikesha. You reveal excellent qualities, Punya Shloka, because you are full in all respects, Achyuta. Or, right, because you can only be full in all respects if you're unfailing. Because if you fail, you lose something. Right? Yeah. Or, you never fail in your promise to protect your devotee, Shakrid Eva Prapanno Yaha. You have unrestricted glories of Yaya, or you do not decrease in giving yourself. So even if he gives himself to the devotee, he's still there for others. You know, it's like crossing the material ocean on the boat. So as soon as you have that faith, then the ocean becomes reduced down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, so you can step to the other side. So the boat still is on this side for people to approach. Like that. So it's unlimited. He's never, because somebody's offering prayers, it's not that he can't hear your prayers. Right?
Question regarding the installation. Yeah. So we have the deity installation in temples, and second is temporary installation at home.
Temporary installation at home. Temporary installation means, like, let's say, small deities, where you bring them out for a festival. then you bathe them, worship them, they get the full Pancharatri treatment. And then after the festival's over, then they go back in the box and sleep until next festival. That's temporarily installed. So when they come out of the box, second initiated devotees following the Pancharatri rules do the worship. That's temporary installed. So it means they're there to accept the worship while that goes on. Then they go back in their box.
Now, even at home, the duties are being welcomed and everything. Some particular ritual is being performed. And that is being offered. Another case is when somebody gives a deity and that is not being installed, but still it goes in the altar. So is the form is the same of Krishna?
The form is Krishna, so the point is you have to deal with him properly. This is Krishna.
Because sometimes devotees discriminate.
That discrimination is a natural material disease. No? Yeah. So that they discriminate, discrimination has positive and negative connotations. Discriminate, you can tell the difference between matter and spirit, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you discriminate in the material platform that, you know, wet stool is better than dry stool or dry stool is better than wet stool, then that discrimination is material. So you have to be careful of how they're discriminating. So they're discriminating, you know, as a combination between social, the easiest, the most easily accessible social prestige. No? Because the point is they don't want to worship the deity, then get a picture. But they don't want to get a picture because, oh, that's not very elevated. I have a deity, now that's special. Means who's special? I'm special. Because Krishna's special whether he's a picture or he's an archer. Like that. So therefore, then that's why. Because otherwise, before, everybody had pictures. If you were a second initiated, you were going to do the worship, then you had deities. Otherwise, you didn't. Yes, they hadn't bumped into Lloyd Azar. Like that. That was the main essential point. Yes, you know what I'm saying. So that they have deities there, that nice. Do something. Do some worship. It reminds you of Krishna. It helps them. That's always a positive thing. But you should always understand that there is actual standards. You know, that they're doing anything, that's good. Just like the little kid, you know, once every 3 days says Hare Krishna. That's good. That's great. That's fabulous. But trying to say that's a standard, oh, he's a great devotee, why are you discriminating? You know, he's just as good as that, you know, the initiated devotee who chants 16 rounds every day. That's material intelligence. So yes, it's good. They have it, they have their worship, they're doing great. And then there's the standard of deity worship. You know, so archanam is another thing. Because otherwise they say, no, but it's all the Bob. So then we would say, yes, having a girlfriend, having the wife, exactly the same thing. Yes, that's what I'm saying. But we're talking about who's saying these things. Is the Purusha Bob of the living entity. That they want to get the benefits without the effort. So that's what the boy wants, is because the girl will go home like that, you know, and then he can go away like that. And so, you know, a little dinner, a little this, that, and that's all good. You know, and so then if you want to say they're the same and make no distinction, then fine, great, right? But the point is people who know there's a difference, because the one, then you have responsibility. That's where it starts, because the whole point is, why is a girl even available as a girlfriend? With the idea that you'll take up the responsibility. That's what it's for. Like that. Because if they just want to have fun, they'll stay with the girls. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, then that's what it's for. So the whole idea is, they say, so it brings you to the standard. You know, so it can be a very nice, simple standard, but the point is it has that regularity, it has a basic function. So you have to, yes. So you just have to know what you're dealing with. Otherwise, then, They're making discrimination, but no discrimination. Like that. They say indiscriminately indiscriminate. Yes. Okay, the BBT purport mentions. Are we on that?
No.
No.
All things are destined to read the last paragraph.
Or in requesting to leave, thinking himself qualified with humility, thinking of his qualification, he describes the Lord by glorifying him. Entering the universe, Jagannath, you are the Lord of us low people. Though you are Lord of Lords, Deva Deva, since you revealed unlimited qualities, such as compassion by protecting the cows, Govinda, therefore you are the best person, Purushottama, served by great persons with unlimited qualities like skillfulness. Moreover, you are the shelter of all jivas, Narayana, delivering even plants. You are moreover most beautiful, Hrishikesha, but not only in form, but qualities. This is, who's this? Sanatana Goswami. So his beauty is not just in form, but is also in the qualities. Right? You distribute fame which produces purity in the universe, Punya Shloka. Because right? Fame means it's for pious activities, for something good based on a quality. You do something based on a quality in an exceptional way, that creates fame. Right? By performing childhood pastimes, you distribute fame which produces purity in the universe, Punyashloka, by performing childhood pastimes. You do not fall from your powers even when performing childhood pastimes, Achyuta. So even though he's a small child, it's still he's not any less powerful, you know, as Trinavarta and others found out quite quickly.
Maharaj, in this way we can have so many primary meanings also.
Yeah, you can have so many meanings, but it all goes back to Krishna. The point is, it's about Krishna and his glories, his name, form, qualities, pastimes. That's the common point. Now, because he's unlimited, you can bring out unlimited things even from the particular word or the combination, how you put the words together.
Because in the same thing, three times, three different...
Yes. Yeah, and the other acharyas, they also did the same thing, and even different meanings. Because the point is, Sanatana Goswami is giving this, then the others will give a different, bring out other things. So... That's why it said Ananta Sesh goes on unlimitedly talking with unlimited mouths, and he's still not done talking, because it's you can just keep going, the finer and finer. King Riga concluded, "I offer my repeated obeisances unto you, Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. You are the source of all beings, the supreme absolute truth, the possessor of unlimited potencies, the master of all spiritual disciplines." Right? So all spiritual disciplines are meant to go to Krishna. So then the point is, since they're meant to go to Krishna, that means they go to Krishna to please Krishna. It means they can be connected to Krishna so you get the benefit you want. But that's not going to satisfy the soul. So only when it's connected to Krishna to please Krishna can the soul be satisfied. Therefore, then, in following spiritual disciplines, you would follow in a way that Krishna recommends that is pleasing to him. And so that's given to us by the acharyas. That's why we follow the specific spiritual disciplines we're given. Right? Not that, you know, so many things that are there in the scriptures are bona fide, but for us, this is what we're given, because we want to please Krishna in that particular flavor. Does that make sense? Otherwise, others will give you different flavors. Does that make sense? Like if you want to make paneer butter masala, you have to start out with some butter and some paneer like that. Otherwise, you're not going to get that. If you start out with some, you know, how you say, eggplant and some karela, then you're going to end up with shukta. You understand? Even if you put lots of butter and put paneer in it. Is that so that's why then they give recommendation. So this idea is that I can do whatever I feel like and that will get me there, but the problem is doing whatever we felt like has kept us here for unlimited time. So why would we think now that whatever I want will now suddenly get us there? We were there, it got us here. So
getting connected to a particular spiritual discipline, is it a question of mercy?
Means getting connected is by the mercy of the devotees. It means by Krishna's arrangement, we come in contact with the devotees. Right? And so that's then how we get connected.
No, I'm speaking about the sampradayas, the different sampradayas that we have.
It's just depending upon their interest. It's on taste.
Mm-hmm.
Means generally those who work in the spiritual circles, have they not bumped into all the sampradayas?
Yeah.
Like that. So then, but you stick to your sampradaya.
We didn't.
Hmm? Chutananda once explained that the burnt remnants of the Yadu dynasty. I'm not sure where he got it from, but he mentioned it. I remember him mentioning that, I think it was 74, and a question came up, and then he made this point. Yes.
I had one objection that regarding the flavor. The
flavor.
We have some standards by Srila Prabhupada, but I heard from some devotee that he was pointing out different mats, for example,
to pointing out different mats.
They follow something more than we. This is like better.
They follow more than we.
Yeah.
Which are we? Yeah, like are you discussing a parallel universe here, or what? What are you talking about?
What do they do
more than we do? In what area?
More details, like
more detail in what?
Follow more rules.
More rules in what? I'm just saying. In what?
In temple,
as such as their padati is 20 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
The deity worship they do is 20 pages, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this? They do more. You know what I'm saying?
I give an example. For example, if they do arati, they stand all in the temple.
And we also stand in the temple when the arati goes on.
Somebody may not follow this, but the standard is the same.
We all stand. That's what you do. When the deity curtains open for the arati, you stand. It means don't take those as more. And that's like the discussion that we had when devotee asked in Hungary that they had been in Russia, and then they had come to Hungary. And they were totally confused by the completely, absolutely different and opposing, contradictory methods of worship that they saw between Russia and Hungary. Because in Russia, when they rang the bell for the artik, they held it in their hand and kept their arms straight. While in Hungary, they had their elbow bent so that the bell, it was parallel to the ground, and then they rang the bell like this. And they were coming unhinged. They were losing their faith in the process of deity worship. So we have to kind of... Yes, after explaining that it's the same thing, it's just a matter of your arms bent or not, it's whatever you like to do. Depends on the bell. You can. I even blew your mind more. Is you can take the bell, put it out the end of your fingers, and grab just the top and ring it there, like that. That was And Prabhupada, when he would do artik, he'd have two bells. He put two bells to different fingers and then ring them like this, so you get more sound, more different sound. When he was doing the artik for, at 26th Second Avenue. Because they used to call it bells. They didn't know what it was, so they called it artik bells. It's probably ring the bells. So. Yeah, so we have to understand is that there's not, we're the same line. What's more that they do? I have yet to bump into a mot that would do more than we do.
So maybe it was just unnecessary criticism. What was the objection of the devotee?
It's just who knows. It's like that's not our business.
What I sense that this he's referring that many temples that are not following the standard at all. That could be like it seems like then in Gaudiya Math they do more, but that's the problem of those places.
You can say so many things. You know what I'm saying? It means because it's just whatever you want to see. But the point is we have our place, we have our instructions, we follow it. Like that. So the point is that you know, if they want to say that they're technically Gaudiya Math and not like us, you know, there's something superior, are they chanting 64 rounds? Mm-hmm. If they're not, then they're not up to the standard at all. But we're not going to get into that as a discussion. But my point is that they're claiming, oh, we're from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. No, they're not. Anybody's ever been to Bagh Bazaar Gaudiya Math?
No, don't go to Gaudiya
Math. Yeah. But I'm saying, there you have the Kirtan Hall. Right? And the Kirtan Hall is two stories high. And it's quite big. So around the edge of the Kirtan Hall, there's a balcony around the whole thing. That balcony is the Brahmachari Ashram. That means the Brahmacharis do not miss any artiks or kirtans. Even they're sick, they hear all the kirtan, all the, you know. So I don't think that you can make these kind of things. It means the kirtan that I used to hear before, I haven't heard it since the 90s. And just, you don't hear it. Really from the 80s. It's just a nice thing. Cooking. They cook pasta now. They have a feast, they cook pasta. With mustard seeds, like we do. Bengali boys have a feast, they gotta have pasta with mustard seeds in it. How, I don't know, but they gotta have it. They do the same thing. You know? So like that. But these things, these are common standards that are there. People who are trained, they know them. Like when you eat, you don't put your hand on the ground. You know, it's just standards. People who were here in those days, they knew all those things. Nowadays, people aren't in. You're just happy enough that they're willing to do anything. You know, people are talking about, you know, community and stuff like that. They don't want to talk about sadhana. But the point of sadhana, it's not about the form that you're using, it's about trying to please Krishna. Yeah, so the thing is that the culture is there, but that's tradition. It's Gaudiya culture. It's not Gaudiya Math culture, it's Gaudiya culture. Us being Gaudiyas, it's the same culture. Now, whether we follow it or not is another thing. But it's not that they follow it better. Like that. The BBT purport mentions, Srila Sridhar Swami comments that King Nriga here offers his obeisances to Brahman, that is, the absolute truth, who is unchanged in spite of performing activities. Since ancient time, Western philosophers have puzzled over the question of how God can be unchanging and yet perform activities. Sridhar Swami states that this doubt is answered here by the term Ananta Shaktaye, which describes the Lord as the possessor of unlimited potency. So that's the whole point. As he is the unchanging Lord to whose potencies, then all things are done. Thus, through the Lord's infinite potencies, he can perform innumerable activities without changing his essential nature as the source of all these energies. Because by them performing activity, he doesn't become less or lose any energy. The king further offers his obeisances to Sri Krishna. Right, so that point there, King Nriga's already answered this whole, we're going to spend a whole pada in Vedanta Sutra, you know, trying to explain this to the followers of Shankya. And he's just said it in this one nice little verse. The master of all spiritual disciplines, including Shankya. Right? The king further offers his obeisance to Sri Krishna, the possessor of the form of eternal bliss and the supreme goal of life. The holy name of Krishna is analyzed in a verse from the Mahabharata, Udyog Parva 71.4, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 9.30, purport. Kshir bhu vachaka shabdho nascha nivriti vachaka tayor aikyam param brahma krishna it yabhidhiyate. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krishna is added to Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. So we see is that already that aspect of Rama is already within Krishna. because that spiritual pleasure is already there. And then Rama just brings that out more. King Riga offers the above prayers as he is about to leave the personal association of the Supreme Lord. Right? So in other words, Krishna is very attractive. Right? And then from that attractiveness, that of being involved, that then gives the highest pleasure. Right? And then that principle, that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute position. Just that he's Brahman, that's not the absolute position. Brahman is absolute, but it's not the absolute position. Bhagavan is the absolute position. Because Bhagavan is the support of Brahman. Srila Sanatan Goswami comments. Krishna says, in that case, stay here. Right? Because he's going to leave the personal association of the Lord. Right? Riga replies, I offer respects to you. You are the source of everything, but without change, since you have unlimited powers of Maya. You are the shelter of all beings, the material source of everything. You have an eternal form of bliss, Krishnaya. You give the results for all actions, Yoganam Pataye. Or I can go only by being inspired by you. What can I do by my own powers? Showing how Krishna is the inspirer of all beings, he describes his powers. You cause everyone's actions since you are spread internally and externally, Brahmane. Right, so in you know how you say internally as the super soul, and then how you say then he has the whole as externally as the whole creation and everything, which is based on Brahman, like that. Same time is also internally by his expansion of his potencies, so that they are everywhere, and they make everything function. Right? And externally means he's beyond all these things, so he's within the universe, he's beyond the universe, you know. So. But the jivas move by their own will. That is clearly seen. End quote. All right, so Krishna's saying. But then he says, you are the source of their powers. Ananta Shaktaye, since you preside over their chitta, Vasudevaya. He presides over their consciousness. Right? Therefore, you cause the actions of karma and jnana, etc. Yoganam Pataye. Therefore, I offer my respects to you, Krishna, with intense devotion. He says, Nama, twice. I constantly offer respects. Or, you are the cause of all beings from Brahma to plants. Sarva Bhavaya. Right? Because that means you're talking about the movable to immovable. So when you talk about all the species of life, so then within humans, then your top will be your Lord Brahma. And then of the immovable, then the plant life will be. You appeared in the house of Vasudev to give prema of your lotus feet. You are all-pervading, Brahmane. Since you have infinite shaktis, ananta shaktaye, you are the protector of bhakti yoga, the method of producing bhava. You reveal your confidential powers, Krishnaya. I offer respects to you. I am not able to remain in this place on this occasion. Speculating about the cause of his pastimes, he is bewildered. Okay. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Having spoken thus, Maharaj Mriga circumambulated Lord Krishna and touched his crown to the Lord's lotus feet. Granted permission to depart, King Riga then boarded a wonderful celestial airplane as all the people present looked on.
So, like Krishna invited him to stay with him. But he's like uncomfortable with that option, it looks like.
It appears. Yeah. He's bewildered by all these things. So
by his opulence? Is it by his opulence or...
Just because of his greatness, Ananta Shaktaye, all these different things, all the different aspects. And so because he is a devata, his natural place is there. Mm-hmm. And so then he'll go there.
Okay.
This is the second time this has come up, that he's bewildered because of his powers. And it is two times it is repeated as Ananta.
He's bewildered by Krishna's powers.
Yeah. Okay.
Krishna writes in Krishna book, therefore it is recommended that if one cannot directly become a devotee of the Lord, one should follow the Vedic principles of life. This will enable him one day to see the Lord by being promoted either directly to the spiritual kingdom or indirectly to the heavenly kingdom, where he has hope of being transferred to the spiritual planets. Because right, then in the heavenly kingdom, then they all know about Vishnu. Now and again, they deal with and interact with Vishnu, so then they have more of a chance to start their devotional process. Right? But the Vedic principles, at least you're following the principles of life that devotees follow. You may be following for materialistic purposes, but at least you're following the lifestyle. So now if you come across a devotee, all you have to do is change your consciousness. Well, if you have material consciousness and non-Vedic lifestyle, then you have to change both. So then better you just have to change the one. Yes.
So at this point, he's not ready to take sadhana bhakti.
It appears not. So therefore, he's following the principles of Vedic life.
Which is Varanasram.
Yes, yes. And so as demigods, they're kshatriyas, they manage the universe. They do all these things. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.